Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Okay, so what's the cult of one? Hyper-independence. I know it well. A lot of people who haven't come to KI yet will discover that the reason they got involved in spirituality or awakening or even a healing process was because of buried anger, not everyone, but, and avoidance, avoidant conditioning with the buried anger or buried hurt and avoidant conditioning. And that's what people call hyper independence. There's actually discoverable conditioning in your body that's responsible for that. We discovered that along with repression. So we don't talk about it from the head. Well, I do here, but we actually go into the body and you can find it. It's such an important discovery because then you can see, well, here's what I found. I had this conditioning with my buried anger, so it was responsible for my avoidance, like on the three signs of the avoidant path. I was disconnected from my body, the buried anger. I was disconnecting from people. And then that's sign number one of the avoidance. Number two, I looked for a way to alleviate my suffering, but I would always pick up practices and things and just do them on my own. So I would turn them into a bypass. That's sign number two. And then I had to keep suffering and doing the same thing, repeating the same cycle. That's sign number three. So I've lived the avoidant path. And I did it as a cult of one, which means I didn't want to be seen, and I wasn't seen until I met my co-developer, Dan McClintock. I mean, I really wasn't. I didn't have a teacher. I did, after the awakening, have teachers. But before, I was living in Indiana, and I was just reading about enlightenment. It just sounded like a great thing, because then I could just be free, and I wouldn't have to deal with people. That's how I kind of thought of it. Because I'd always been a loner after being bullied. I don't know if any of you can relate to just being disconnected or alienated. And so spirituality appeals to us who like to do things alone. We take care of ourselves. As a therapist said, I did some video and I just felt like this therapist was of the codependent cloth. And she said, you know, I get your point, but isn't it really, I was talking about authority and how people with buried anger have authority issues. She said, yes, but you know, with trauma, it's really about autonomy, isn't it? I said, yeah. I mean, but, or just disconnection. We have to learn to do things on our own with hyper independence, take care of ourselves. But, you know, I don't know if she meant autonomy as if that's a positive quality. Forget positive or negative. It could just be that we have to be on our own, like a trauma response. So I certainly don't think she meant, or I hope not, that we want to help people go further into their hyper independence as some sort of trauma healing. That would be really misleading, and I see it happening. But no, I think what we're here, there's some people who join cults, right? Groups. I did a podcast called somewhat recently about joining, well, how not to start or join a cult, a group. But this is different. It's still a cult. It's like the opposite end of the spectrum. When you think about it just in terms of attachment style, because we've discovered conditioning that says, I need reassurance, I need you here. And that is a person who could be more prone to joining a group or needing a teacher or a mentor there to feel safe because of buried emotions, trauma. Or you could find condition that says, I have to get away. Basically, from people in groups because of buried emotions. Because the attachment styles are different depending on the relationship to the buried emotions. But these are things that we don't know until we process buried emotions. So we're prone to join groups, as I was saying, that can become cults in that podcast episode. But we're also prone to just stay as the cult of one and never join a group. That's me and Dan. We used to be involved in 12-step, but because we sought love and approval and didn't end our suffering, we just kind of gave up on groups. And we didn't really want to form a group here, let alone a cult. We were just living as like two cults. The cult of Scott. I can't speak for Dan, but he has avoidance and buried anger too. So he might say the same thing. And so with the hyper-independence, there's just like millions, if not billions, of cults of individual people who, out of sheer terror that's frozen in the body and conditioning that says, I have to get away from people, I'm angry or hurt, I'm afraid of it, that they become or live as islands onto themselves. And then that's their self-sabotage. So what Dan and I made the mistake of being people who with avoidant conditioning, we didn't know any better. In the very beginning, when we were just learning how to kind of mentor people, we were kind of saying, here are the tools, now just go use them. Like, just go do them on your own. And although it's great when people can do this work, that's the whole point, to do it on your own. That's like actually kind of just encouraging the cult of one. Because left to our own device, we will follow our default conditioning, which is to get our needs met, even if we're just doing something alone. See, needs aren't about love and approval and belonging only. It's about safety. And so by doing something on our own, if we stay safe from the buried emotions, goal accomplished. Even though we may consciously want to do a practice or an investigation and be free, when we are not free by doing that on our own, we're still getting our needs met. And by the way, like an anger repressor who processes all the time on their own or meditates, but never gets to buried anger, also gets the need for love and approval met, even though they're a cult of one, because even people who are very avoidant get into relationships. They might be avoidant in a relationship, but they need love. So the avoidant spiritual practice, the hyper-independence, helps someone who's that cult of one get their needs met across the board. You just can't see this in a spiritual practice because the needs and the buried emotions don't arise to awareness. They produce stories and beliefs and depression and anxiety and pain and relational issues and sabotage that we're aware of, but we're not aware of buried anger and needing love and approval. I mean, we are, but we're, if at best, when we have repression, like tangentially, you know, just like, yeah, I know. I know it's there, but I don't see it. I'm not directly aware because it's buried. So that the cult of one exists just like a cult of 20 or 200 it's like having a prophylactic around you. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out. If something gets in, I keep it in and I don't go back to the source. Like I've mentored people who are very avoidant or hyper-independent. I'll give them the tools and I don't hear from them for like a week or 2 weeks or maybe months. They're just over there being the cult of one. And when I was the cult of one, I would say, yeah, just go do that. Just explore. But then they wouldn't end suffering and they weren't doing the work as it was developed. So my repression and their repression was this mutual sabotage. I went back into my training program when I noticed like there was a certain percentage, maybe 20%, something like that, who I just didn't hear from them anymore. They're just off being the cult of one. And I was like tracking them down through my message apps and, oh, there you are. I'm sending a message to them like, hey, I haven't heard from you in 6 months and I know you're training. So I've developed, and Dan and I have developed this work around repression now, buried emotions. And we wanted to know if you wanted to look at like attachment style and avoidance, even like any avoidance in the training program. And there wouldn't be a response because they were over there being very innocently their avoidant selves. Sometimes, and they would often be anger repressors who would often have authority issues that they weren't processing because they didn't come into the training program fully to deal with the repression that creates the authority issues, which creates the disconnection and the avoidance, and it's mom and dad stuff. But see, they came into the training program wanting to process and be done with their suffering, but they didn't want to feel the buried emotions. And I get that. Right. But see, that's how damaging cults can be. Whether it's a cult of one or a cult of 200. When there's a prophylactic around you and you're disconnected from your body and from people, like really, because you can be in a group of people and you're still disconnected from them because you have trauma. So cults are really disconnected groups. And then the cult of one is just a disconnected person who's too afraid to connect with people. But I mean, I've seen, here's how I discovered and saw this as a cult because I lived it. But then when I saw this whole Me Too thing and the PC cancel culture, in the spiritual world, it was like there were a lot of people who were just really going after cults until I realized that most of them were anger repressors. And in the midst of that shadow projection, I would be like, okay, so but tell me about yourself. What do you do for spiritual practice? Oh, I will never join a group. No, I will never join a group. Those damn cults. And then at first glance, it's like it seems healthy. But then I just ask questions like, well, so what do? You just do practice on your own or something? Yeah, I do a pretty radical inquiry practice that I learned a few years ago. And it's all you need is just to be with your experience. You don't need to be around people. And I'm like, well, what was it like when you were a kid? I mean, have you grown up always kind of not being around people? Well, yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. I said, but what if it does? What if your spiritual practice is a continuation of the same trauma of childhood, but you wouldn't know it? You'd be the last to know because it's connected to emotions that are buried. I started to realize that their problem with the cults, the groups, was just a scapegoating. So that nobody would see them. It's just like me. I used to have a problem with the cults, and we should. Don't join them. See, when you do your repression work, then you have boundaries. You're just like, no, you don't want to join that. But when you have repression, you don't do your work, though. And I used to not do that work. So I'd make a big deal out of cults, groups, so I could be the cult of one and be self-righteous about it. And then nobody ever questioned me, though, because people don't question anger repressors. They're too nice and peaceful. And if you question them, they'll just get triggered and run a lot of times. So that's how we maintain the cult. It's like any cult, you can't question the leader. And the leader of the cult of one is moi. So if you question moi, I have to go. I have to disconnect if I have buried anger. I can't be scrutinized within my own cult. I can't be scrutinized from the outside or internally. Internally, in the cult of one, you can't discover that the cult is driven by buried emotions, just like any cult. If you discover the trauma, the gig is up, because then you can't be the cult of one anymore. And then you realize, well, it's just disconnection is all it was. It wasn't really just spiritual practice in solitude and awakening out of the world of illusion. It was, I'm still running from the same emotions. It was too unsafe to feel when I was a kid. I just didn't know it because I was running from it and making all the decisions within it and letting my own buried emotions and that conditioning be my teacher. Every time it would tell you, just go do that work on your own. You know, you don't realize you're being forced into it. When you're a cult of one. But it just looks like a meditation practice. All you have to do is just contemplate going into a group. You know, if you might be a cult of one, here's a cult checklist. You ready for the cult of one? Yeah, this is good because we have so many checklists we should have checklists for both. But see, checklists only get us so far. They just alert us to a potential issue. We still have to process the unprocessed emotions that drive it. But it's like anything, the three signs of an avoidant path get us started on processing it. So maybe the checklist will. And you can research the checklist for cult groups. Here's the checklist for a cult of one. Look for a general perspective around just being independent in your life, generally. It's a good place to start. It might be around governments, or even your politics. It might be in your relationship. Like, you might want love and be in a relationship, but you tend to be, have your own space a lot, and kind of really, or disconnect. Look for the general kind of independence in all areas of life, in a way. The way you do spiritual practice, maybe the way you do relationship, might not join groups. See, that's all you can be aware of. You can't be aware of the buried emotions and the conditioning that drive you to do all that. That's under the water, if you look back at the iceberg. But at the tip, you can see these things. And it could also be like you don't like to be in groups. You might actually feel that anxiety or tension. And that just kind of pushes you to be alone. That's a good sign to look for, just generally an attitude of, I've got to do it on my own. But it's so a healthy human being can feel and express everything and has an independence. It just isn't a hyper independence coming from fear of connection with people. So you really have to trust your body. You can't trust your mind. You have to go with skill to discover what, if anything, is driving that. It's one thing to just naturally be able to feel and express and take care of yourself, but to disconnect from people would be fear driving that. And that's not something that you can see in meditation or awareness. We actually have tests for it. As soon as you start my intensive program, I send you these special tests that identify if you're so-called the cult of one. And that helps us because then we can deal with that conditioning right off the bat instead of just letting it where you just go off and run. Think about it. You sign up for an intensive with that intention to like work with me, and then second week you're not reaching out and you're over there thinking, well, I'm just doing the work that he taught me. But you're doing it in a way where your default conditioning makes it into a bypass, because that's what we do in any cult. There's a bypass, group or individual, because there's avoidance. And so how all cults operate is by insulating themselves from the rest of people. That's what I'm saying. It's not about groups. It can be about one person insulating themselves. And all cults are trauma. And so this is trauma. Just to speak about it plainly. It's just somebody insulating themselves from authenticity, intimacy, communication, connection, being seen. And it's just natural because that's what's driving them, the buried emotions. But here in the intensive, it's just like we spot it and we, here, let me help you with that. It's a sensitive subject. And I have patience with that because it's like any cult, you know. Sorry to use that terminology, but that's how we are when we're avoidant, is pretty impenetrable unless we have the kind of earnestness, you know. And that's only people that I will even work with in an intensive is if you're open and earnest to look at how you insulate yourself from taking suggestions. A lot of the cult of one comes from like anger, hurt, repression, dad issues. And so like opening up to someone like me where I'm trying to show you how to do something brings up that issue. And so you might not know that it's anger for dad or hurt for mom and dad that's making you do the work on your own and not connecting with me. I just don't teach the way I used to, though. I don't even like sessions anymore. And the reason is because people have made a lot of money through sessions through the years, because people come to do sessions, but they don't work. This is why I criticize therapy that just does sessions. Sorry, therapists. But we did it for years. But the reason that doesn't work is because for people who are like hyper independent, who have buried emotions like buried anger and hurt that might not even come out in a session, that person is ill-equipped to deal with their suffering outside of those sessions. And there's nothing that anybody can do in a session to end someone's suffering. And why else would you go to therapy or spirituality, but yet to end suffering, unless we're just going to manage things forever? So if you don't see somebody who's in front of you as like, they're like very insulated, and then you have a session which itself is very insulated. It's like, I only see you for an hour. I don't know you, feel you, see you, hear you for the rest of the time. And so that fits your disconnection and your avoidance perfectly. It plays right into it. And yet you came to me for help. I mean, it's different with everyone. Not everyone is avoidant like that. Some people have an anxious attachment, and that's different. Might treat it differently with this subject, but I will do sessions, but I raise my price not to make money. Nobody signs up, to deter people from, if they're avoidant, from like coming and meeting with me and getting tools and running, and then just kind of just doing the work in a different way than we developed it, which is a weird thing to do if you think about it. Like, it's not weird. It's just, if you were clear and conscious, you wouldn't do it, but it's your repression. You come here to learn something the way that we've developed it. And although you might have that intention, within 2 weeks, you're doing your own thing. You're dancing around what we taught you. And that's how cults operate. I'm telling you, nothing gets in. Like, people from the outside are trying to say, hey, there's something going on. I'm trying to help you. You can't hear. And, you know, I'm not trying to pick on people who do spiritual practice only on their own, but you sometimes can't hear what you're doing. And I couldn't either. And then you wonder why you're still suffering. And you do it to yourself. Because if you're not open to process buried emotions, and then you're running off in a corner to process the suffering that comes from the buried emotions. So you can stay safe in the buried emotions and continue to disconnect from people and what? Wake up? Heal? Without making it relational. See, that's not really, if you were conscious and clear, you would stop that. You would. You would. I had to. If I was going to be really free, I had to stop that whole pattern. But I couldn't without processing buried emotions. Because that's why I was avoidant of conflict, anger, all that. And I was really very insulated. I too was, this is why I'm speaking so directly to you, because I can, because it's not like I'm somebody who doesn't understand you. And I hope that even though I'm direct, you understand that I wish somebody would have said this to me. Luckily, Dan, and I think you'll see this if you come and work with me, I'm very loving, actually. You'll see it. You'll feel held. Most everyone does, but not in a way that's toxic. I have to say that when Dan and I first got together, there was some toxicity because we both had buried anger. But thankfully, because the tools were so sharp, I eventually got to my buried anger. What it did, it made me feel safe enough to be seen with him. And that's important. But it still wasn't safe for either one of us to open to anger, so we had to develop the work further. And frankly, deal with a bit of codependency between us. And so now we both mentor differently. Because when we see people who are avoidant and who want to just come and take the tools and run, we're like, no, 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 hold on. Because that's how it happens. In this topic, we'll call it a cult. That's how cults continue, is that they're cut off from the body, from the world. And only the belief systems of that cult of one are governing you, the person who's doing that. And if anybody questions you, you might get triggered. Let's say you're an anger repressor as the cult of one who's just always have to do it on your own and somebody questions you about it, like this podcast, and you get triggered. It's okay to be triggered. You have every right to disagree with what I'm saying, but imagine that that's what cults do when you start to question them. It's like, what do you mean? I'm not a cult. But we all have this in us. Either we need to be with people and we're driven towards that out of our fear, or we need to be alone, or both. We don't get out of the cult conversation by just being people who do spiritual practice alone. It's just a different version of it. I hope this helps, harsh language or not. It helps us see, I think, maybe, because these shadows are strong around cults, as I said. And with this work, it's always about point back, but not just to self, but to what drives self, the buried emotions. This is a good one. This is a good topic for this, I think. So you would join. So this is a great thing, too, is to talk about this link that I provide, like in this podcast where you have two choices. You can join the group cult, the Jumpstart group, or the one-on-one cult with me. I'm totally kidding. But either way, we're going to dissolve the cult conditioning. Either whether it's you, the cult of one, who would like to join the Jumpstart group to hide from one-on-one, but I would encourage this instead. If you're someone who sees yourself in this, like hyper independent, do one-on-one, the intensive. Go to killaby.com and check it out, or just click on the link and come talk to me for free to see if it's a fit. Of course you're going to resist it, because it's a cult of one. Any cult resists infiltration of new ideas. But if you're earnest, you'll come and talk to me. You'll say, look, like, I don't want to, but I'm also suffering. And this could be the reason. And then the other thing is the group. And what I say to that is that some people are just not ready for one-on-one, or they just want to learn the tools and it feels safer to go into a group. But that's not a cult. That's going to last 1 month. Safeguards. You'll bond with people there and may have lasting friendships from that. But the actual mentorship in the Jumpstart group is 1 month. And I just teach you the tools and support and nurture the whole group in learning the tools, jumpstarting them in the work. And then we disband and you're back to where you were on your own, but now you're equipped with the tools. But I will have taught you about your attachment style, whether, you know, you're prone to being the cult of one, hyper independent, and how to process that, or prone to like need others, like the group or others, and how to process that along with buried emotions. So check out the link in the description if you wish. And I always say, look, if you're not ready for any of that, go to repressiontest.com. At least you start to discover what emotions that you bury, and then that automatically adds you to our newsletter so you can learn more. Thank you.